In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 5% off your first purchase with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for 5% off your first purchase.
This week on The Bachelor. Classrooms in session, but which men will pass the test? Then, Michelle hits it off in her first one-on-one of the season, but is the spark here to stay? Plus, one man sends Michelle into a trust spiral. Will she ever recover? It's the most dramatic season ever. This is The Bachelor.
Hello and welcome to The Bachelor Podcast. I'm Kay York City.
I'm Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm Jared Freed.
And we are back for, is this week two or three? This is three.
Two.
This is two. Week two.
This is week two of Michelle's season, The Bachelorette. And honestly, her outfits just keep getting better.
She looks unreal.
She looks unreal. But really quick, I feel like we should, before we get into everything, Katie and Blake broke up.
Gotta talk about it. What were our initial feelings? Do you guys have thoughts? Feelings?
Yeah.
Does it change? You know, it is interesting to me. Does it change your outlook on her season? It changed it for me. What do you guys think?
It didn't really change much for me. I feel like the season was kind of a wash. In general.
Yeah. I think it made it more. Her breakup makes it more of a wash. You know, like I think it was one of those things, and we said it last week, and this was something that I really feel now, and something I didn't see is how important having a career is on this show. Like, because of the pot of gold that exists in Instagram land, like, I don't mind if someone's a lawyer and then they choose to be Instagram person. But at least the lawyer thing exists as an option. Katie,
right.
And this is
at least we have it.
Yeah, Kate, this isn't to like put down Katie and her career choices. Like, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying as the main character, like, Michelle's season is elevated by the idea that, like, Minnesota teacher, this is a place that we could head. You know, now looking back, and I we talked about Katie doing stand up, and Chris, you know, you and I have that initial like bitter reaction to it that is a mix of it being annoying and our own insecurities and envy. But she's opening she's opening for Whitney Cummings. And my initial thought was, when you do stand up, and Chris, you definitely know this too, is the people who start with a relation, the people who are in a relationship and then start comedy, that relationship always ends. Like, it's always
nobody.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Nobody in a completely happy relationship pursues doing stand-up at a late in life age.
Totally true.
You know what I mean?
You nailed it, Chris. Nobody with a life direction starts stand-up comedy.
Yes.
I didn't even know that she did stand-up. Like,
she doesn't. She did it once.
When?
The reality is, so she opens for Whitney Cummings once. She's claiming this is a big opportunity. It is not an opportunity. You know, you don't do stand-up when you've done it once. You do stand-up when you've been doing it for years and years and years. You know, it takes a long time to figure it out. Like, people, and the annoying part is people will say, I'm sure, Chris, you got this. You think she's good? It's like, nobody's good their first time doing stand-up. But then you sound like a miserable, bitter asshole because it sounds like you're talking shit. You're not.
Oh, totally.
You know, so
yeah, I think it's definitely an interesting trajectory when anyone is like, oh, didn't I tell you I do stand up now? And I'm like, oh God, great. That's so good for you.
Is that what she's like wanting also to do? Like, is this like a thing that she wants to keep doing? Or
I didn't know she was like funny.
No. That's the point. She doesn't know what she wants to do, and no one gets engaged. And this leading back to her and Blake, Nobody gets engaged. Very few people, let me say, get engaged in this day and age with no thought of what their path is beyond the engagement. Love will conquer all is a very dying breed. Like, there's a way more people that are a little bit more practical. There's romance and there's practicality in every relationship. But I would say, like, yeah, generationally, a lot more of us go, well, I want to be able to work. What if we get divorced? Am I going to have no career? You know, like, people want to have things, you know, have a direction, have a beacon to head towards. And I mean, I'm that way. I'm sure you two are that way, too. So it's like it all kind of, you know, like that moment where, like, in Beautiful Mind, where it all comes together. Her doing stand up and then the breakup. I was like, oh, like, there was no engagement. Right. It was never going to happen for this person. Like, that's kind of why Michelle's season has been really good so far. I've enjoyed it, like, in a different way. And I enjoyed Katie's season. It was a wash, but I'm looking back and I have different feelings about it than I did kind of a week ago.
Do we think we'll see Katie in Paradise?
Oh.
Yes. I think we're going to see Katie on everything.
Yeah, that's definitely going to be... Especially now that, like... We've seen Becca in Paradise. Like, we've seen past Bachelors and Bachelorettes now. Like, I definitely think we're going to end up seeing Katie in Paradise.
Listen.
We'll see how that goes.
People don't move to San Diego because they know what the hell is going to go on in their life. Okay? You know, your lawyer friends didn't move to San Diego. Like, or they did that for an opportunity, like, because they were like, oh, my company's moving me there. You go to San Diego, like, you know, there's no Ivy League schools in Florida or San Diego. You know, like, it's, there's a reason for everything. You know, so. But
really,
I just thought it put an interesting spin on her season now for me. I don't know about you guys, but, like, Kay, did it change your feelings or anything? Did you notice it when you met her? What was
it? It makes things really... what's the word? Like, I guess I don't believe it as much, because I was questioning it at the beginning. Like, when she picked Blake, I was like, God, it feels so, he doesn't feel like he's being super genuine about this, because this is his third Bachelorette. And, like, Katie felt very like everything that she was posting was so much about, like, hey, make sure you're tuning into the Bachelorette. Like, she's posting TikToks about it and Instagram posts and stories and very much under, like, ABC's.
Yeah.
Like, control.
The difference between her and Michelle is stark.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Michelle had three stories last night. You know, like, I don't know. And here's the other thing, and I know I couldn't tweet this because I don't think a Twitter would give the nuance to it that I wanted it to, but
Nuance. Yeah, I can't.
But... I mean, Greg gets a little bit of redemption.
Yeah.
And not to say, not the way he handled it. The way he handled it was a bad look. I think he still should have apologized for how he reacted. But Greg's big, you know, thesis statement was whenever, you know, or my thesis statement for Greg, because I don't even think he knows the word thesis.
No.
He went to Stella Adler School for Acting. Yeah. Give him a break.
Yeah. Greg, yeah, so let me help Greg out. But my thing with Greg, when he had that whole argument with her, is he was basically saying, like, when it's about, you care about the rules of the game when it keeps the game going, and you don't care, or you care about the rules of the game when it stops the game, but you don't care about the rules of the game when it keeps the game going. So when Blake shows up and it adds an intrigue to the show, Katie's cool with it. But when Greg asks her to say, hey, I'm in love with you, and please tell me you're in love with me, and you're willing to end this thing right now, and it ends the season early, Katie's not on board. So,
right.
So Greg, I mean, I know he didn't make that point as well as I'm not even making it great now, but I'm making it better than he did then. And
facts.
I don't think he's a good or bad person. I don't know Greg. I'm just saying, him being upset by someone who wasn't willing to just run away with him and be in love, it kind of shows now. It gives him a little bit more credibility.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. Let's get on to Michelle's season, because if we never talk about Katie and Greg again, it'll be too soon.
You will be great. Okay, so last night, first, Michelle tells the guys new information about herself. She's a teacher.
What?
Then Peter, the pizza maker, serves up a fresh slice of whiny bitch pie.
And finally, Jamie shows that even at age 50, you can be wildly immature.
This episode wasn't the most exciting episode, but
I thought it was good.
Once it got to the Jamie stuff later, I mean, the Jamie stuff was wild.
Jamie.
Let's name that episode. Let's, before we get into it, let's name the episode. We'll go crazy on Jamie.
Okay. I named it Smile, Your Uncandid Camera, just because I feel like Jamie has no idea that he is being recorded.
Jamie has no idea where he is, how he got there, when he's leaving, where he sleeps. I said life according to Jamie.
And I said love and basketball and lies.
I love it. I feel like lies and basketball is a missed opportunity.
I was going to do that, but I wasn't sure. I didn't trust the audience enough to know that it would be love and basketball.
Summer is fast approaching, which means more social events, more weddings to attend, more nights out on the town, and hopefully more vacations. That's why I'm so thankful for today's sponsor, Honeylove, for covering us with the best shapewear. With Honeylove, you can feel your best even when you're wearing less. They've revolutionized compression technology so you no longer have to feel like you're suffocating while wearing effective shapewear. Plus, they're the only shapewear that won't ever roll down no matter how much you groove on the dance floor. And for a limited time only, you can get Honeylove on sale. Get 20% off your entire order with this exclusive link, honeylove.com/bachelor. Support our show and check them out at honeylove.com/bachelor. When talking about shapewear, Honeylove's best-selling superpower short is the go-to. It is targeted compression technology that distinguishes between areas where you want more support and areas where you need less compression. It is amazing. I've been wearing it for years now. It fits me so well, and I'm not kidding you. When they say it doesn't roll down, it does not roll down, and it hugs you in all the right places. Their Signature X targets and sculpts your midsection without squeezing your natural curves. This piece is also a booty lifter. Boost bands on the back of the thigh give your bottom an amazing shape. So treat yourself to the best bras and shapewear on the market and save 20% off at honeylove.com/bachelor. Use our exclusive link to get 20% off, honeylove.com/bachelor. And after you purchase, they'll ask you where you heard about them. Please support our show and tell them that we sent you. The summer vibes are just getting started, honeys. Shape your life with Honeylove.
So let's get to the episode.
So we start with the first group date, which of course is going to a classroom. Shocker. Peter sucks.
Like, they usually do this stuff. They do. They do these like classroom dates where they like will have kids. They did it with Ben Higgins before. They do these things, but for some reason, just because she's already a teacher, we brought it up so many times.
Yeah.
I'm like, okay.
The thing is, I'm like, it was a fun date, but it's just because she even says, as you guys know, I'm a teacher. I'm like, enough. Just fucking move on with it.
Also, the child actors that they hired were extra child actory. Like, they were so much. Like, it was as if they were dangling a contract for a Disney Channel original series above their head.
Above their head? Oh,
you know that their parents are sitting on the sidelines like, don't fuck it up.
And then they were doing points and tongue moves. It was just... It was child. I mean, I loved everything about their theater. Their theater parents are just off screen.
But it also felt like there were certain points where it felt like Peter was also acting like, and he was like, "Hey, Michelle," like whispering to her. And then the girl was like, the little girl back was like, "She doesn't want to talk to you." Like, it all felt like they were like, "Hey, you should whisper to her right now."
Yeah, in my experience, little kids will like roast the shit out of people. Like, I feel like maybe they were just being rude. Peter was so annoying. I thought this the whole fucking time. And when he was like, I'm an alpha male. Who told you that? Who told you you were an alpha male?
Who gave you that confidence?
I'm more of an alpha male than you are, Peter. Just because you scream in Italian when you meet somebody. It's like wild.
I mean, Peter, his actions, it was classic guy who has no awareness. Classic, like he couldn't. He's sitting there trying to go outside of the game to be like, psst,
yeah,
psst, hey Michelle, and then he doesn't understand when he gets ball busted by Will. Like Will calls him a narcissist. Will's calling him a narcissist was it was a good joke. It was funny. Like it made funny. Sense. It's not like he did that. Like, hey, you're a narcissist. They were like, spell narcissist. He spells Peter. You're like, nailed it. Ba-da-da-da.
Funny.
Set up punchline.
In that moment, I loved Will.
Totally. It was great. And it's like, you know, when someone's got you, you got God. Like, you have to accept
you
it.
You got God. Like,
and Peter was the, it's my bat, it's my ball, I'm going home kid. Like, he had to explode the date the minute he couldn't, you know, he had to take it. Because he's giving it to everyone else.
Peter is the definition of when a parent tells their kid, like, maybe if you laugh along with the kids that are teasing you, they'll stop because it won't be fun for them anymore. Like,
yeah. Like, Peter. I would have, if I were there and I saw Peter's reaction to the narcissist thing, I'm like, done. Everything will be about making fun of him. There's nobody yeah. else I want to make fun of.
There's, it's way too much fun.
But the date, I mean, the musical chairs, when adults play musical chairs, it never works. Like, it turns into a full contact sport. Like, there is no good look for that game, because Peter, you either go too hard like Peter and you look like the kid in gym class who tries too hard to show off, or you don't go hard enough and you're like lazy and you're like, what are we doing here? There's no in between on musical chairs as an adult. As a kid, you can work it out because there's just not as much weight to throw into each other.
Literally weight, like, and just like trying to move fast. Like, we're not moving that fast.
No.
Like, my back hurts.
Yeah.
I can't get up quick enough to do that.
That was a cringe, was Peter desperately trying to win.
Brandon couldn't spell any of the words. None.
Brandon might be 13 years old. I actually, there are points where I look at Brandon and I'm like, what is this gamer doing here? Like, it just looks like it's a YouTube gamer.
When Michelle gave Brandon the group date rose, I was very surprised. Because Brandon is very, like, I can hear Brandon apologizing for cheating every time he talks. Does that make sense? Like, every time he talks, it's like, baby, 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 baby. Like, calm down. Like, he's very, like, I'm going to, but, like, his speaking cadence is so, like, put on to me. Like, it's like a forced sexy voice.
Well, when he sat with her, you're right. I mean, when he sat with her and he kept talking, and I was like, and she even was like, she goes, you're looking deep in the, like, he, first of all, he couldn't make a move. He just screams immature to me. The way he talks,
yeah.
it has.
Yeah, no, he does.
And the way he talks, he looks young, but he also, like what you're saying, Chris, like, he was trying to do poetry, and she even said, and he goes, oh, I can't be corny with you. I'm going to get roasted. It's like, you didn't get roasted. You just sounded like a fucking idiot. Like,
you know, sound dumb. It doesn't feel genuine. It doesn't feel like you're actually trying. It feels like you're putting on some sort of act. Like,
I feel like the girls that he probably usually dates, like, fall for that. Do you know what I mean?
Yes. It kind of felt like this has worked before. Because, dude, you've been staring at her for 10 minutes. Make out with her.
Yeah.
Like, like she's saying to you, why are you staring? Why are you staring at me? Or why are you staring so deeply into me? Is her going, this is awkward. Kiss me now.
Yeah.
Yep.
You know, it was like.
And he's not taking the cues. Mm-hmm. And a man would know that.
Yeah, a mature adult man would see this is the kiss time.
Yeah.
Peter and Will then get in, like, their little yelling fight.
It looked like a whatever. Pizza place owner fighting with his neighbor, the hairdresser.
Oh, my God. Well, when Will said, what do you have to offer besides a slice? I fucking passed out. That is, like, so funny to me.
It's a perfect line. And he said it so seriously.
I love it. I mean, Will, I feel like, is also a child, but he's funny at least.
He got the joke.
When Will and Brandon run to Michelle on the first date, like when they first get to the group date, it very much felt like the kids who kiss up to the teacher but are also kind of troublemakers. Like the kids who hug the kids who hug their teacher at graduation because nobody thought they would get there. That was the vibe.
Very true. Yeah. I mean, and you know, Will fighting with Peter, like, you know, it was just two people that you're like, okay, these both are not, they are not going to win. They are, you know, even though Will was very likable in this episode, I mean, there have been future, they've shown some clips of him in the future where it looks like he's just going to be devolve a little bit. But they, the argument they have is like, I don't even know what argument there was to have. Dude, I made fun of you. It was light. And even Will said
yeah,
that.
That's he goes, it.
It was light. That was it. Like, what do you, you're at now, you're acting like a narcissist by making it like, it was so weird that Peter was mad he was being called a narcissist. So then he was like, oh, I have to act like a bigger narcissist to show that I'm not a narcissist.
Yeah. It was so the level that they he took this to, like, we could have forgotten about it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But them screaming outside during the date, arguing like that is.
It was a lot.
Fuck out of here.
Speaking of being a lot, we move into the one-on-one with one of the most bizarre Bachelor contestants, I feel like, in a long time, Jamie.
I agree. Yeah.
I don't know. He says he's never seen the show. He's never watched any reality TV. He didn't know who Michelle was before. I don't know how he ended up on the show.
Yet he's on the show.
Well, that's where I call kind of bullshit. I mean, like, I Jamie, the way he acted is like, you know, listen, The Bachelor, you see how women interact. The Bachelorette, you see how men interact. And you just see how ego is such a big part of what, like, what can bring down a man. Like, our ego is just such a big thing to get out of the way of. Because for him to get the one-on-one date, when he is one-on-one with Michelle, he's great. When he's in the room with other men, he is very self-conscious.
Like, I think he is a fucking liar about, like, I feel like he is genuinely, something's off.
So you think, like, he lied to Michelle on that date? Because I thought he was a great one-on-one date.
I think the facts maybe are true, but I also thought it was a great date until we saw him after being like just fully lying and like making weird things up. And then even when he found out he was going to be on the one-on-one, he's like, yeah, I have to see if I'm even like into her. You know, I have a wild life. I live on the like fringe of society, and not that life's not for everybody. And you know who that life is not for? Michelle. She says she wants to be a teacher in Minnesota forever. So why the fuck would producers even be like, here's a match?
Well, I mean, that he gives that speech in the room with the men. Like, he gets the one-on-one date. He's around the other men. He's like, she better be good enough for me. It's like, dude, you did audition for
this.
Like, you sent in a self tape. Like, the idea that you have no idea how that you just appeared in a mansion to date a woman that you have nothing about is a lie. I agree that in that sense he's a liar, but he's doing this to pop himself up. He's puffing himself up around these other men because he never once on the date, Chris, does he mention this, I just go on trips in a day's notice thing. Like,
oh no, I know. But that's why I'm like, who is he? He's also like a biotech CEO. What?
Yeah, it's
the CEO thing is too much.
So is that woman who's in court right now, the Elizabeth
Holmes.
Whatever.
Yes.
Yeah, Elizabeth Holmes.
Not Holmes.
Yeah, I mean, like,
I just,
and he's like vulnerable, like talking about his mom and like, that's obviously really fucked up and sad, but
yeah,
I don't, well, like, I felt like Jamie was such a roller coaster because, like, I felt like I was a jury, like the juror at the fucking OJ trial, where I'm like, oh, the glove fits, it doesn't fit, the glove fits, it doesn't fit. He definitely killed Nicole Brown, but for some reason I'm still like wondering if he actually did. Like, there was flip-flopping.
Well, because you even see Nate roll his eyes at Jamie. When Jamie says, "It to me, I care very much about what the other men think of the men in the house." Like, going back to Katie's season.
It's interesting.
Like, it's interesting because going back to Katie's season, I trust Aaron and James. I just do. They seem like just dudes who would tell it straight. Nate kind of rings that to me now. Nate is sitting there, and Nate's whole thing, the whole episode was like, listen, I have my own relationship with her. Other people are going to have a try. It's Nate just struck me as a very confident man. And when Jamie's like, she's got to be good enough for me too. They get a shot of Nate. Is it easier? He's talking about really tough subjects about his family. And it's like, it's hard to differentiate between someone who's really open about one thing, but then a liar about seemingly
everything else. Yeah.
Yeah. That's the, and I don't know. I feel like he was so vulnerable that it made Michelle trust him. And yes. Now he's just like a fucking liar.
And I think that's when he comes up to her and starts talking to her later in the episode about all of the Joe stuff, that's why she's like, well, I'm so glad you told me, because at this point she really trusts him.
Yeah, it is interesting. Like, you have this in dating a lot where, especially you up podcast, people will write in. They'll be like, well, he met my friends, so that means he's open to getting more serious. And that means us having sex was important. And like, if you want to relate it to this, it's like, he told me about his family life and how hard that was. So why wouldn't he be telling the truth about the guys in the house are upset with me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because then then when they come back, she comes back to the full group of them at the rose ceremony. It is so wild because she even says, she's like, no one has anything to say. And they're all like, what's going on? And it made me like the other guys in the house even more. Like, it made me
too. You That's know? What I was going to say before, was the way that Nate was like, who fucking cares if she knew Joe before? Like, whatever. I don't literally care about this. None of them cared. Like, not one of them cared.
That's the crazy part. And then that's the crazy part for, you know, Jamie, who obviously has confidence issues, obviously has an ego, because, again, it's in front of the other men. He gets the date card. I better like her too. Goes on the date. Oh, my God, my family. Here's all this, you know, this stuff. Let me help you up the mountain. Comes back to the house. Hey, you know, I heard that she was at a bar. And is all booed up. He said, booed up, I will never be able to not cringe when I hear that after this.
But also, he said, the fact that he said, he was like, yeah, like, my friend said that they saw you, and they were like, oh, shit, that's Michelle. And you were with a tall, light-skinned baller. Like, how did they know that who she was with was a baller? What are you talking about?
Yeah, and it was really interesting. And I don't think Jamie saw this coming, where Michelle goes to the group and is like, it's offensive to her.
Oh, like, yeah.
That I didn't see that coming. And I don't offensive. Think I think Jamie was like, oh, this was fun and games. Like, I'm just like trying to get out. Like, I don't think Jamie realized the level that this could go to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And like, and that's the one thing. It's like, well, he clearly has not seen certain aspects of the show before, because we all know the person who's going and doing the tattletaling is not the one that makes it far. They're not the one who's going to be, you know, in the actual relationship. You're wasting your time talking about other people when you could be getting to know her yourself.
Yeah.
Yeah. And but he knows enough to make it, instead of him having this information, hey, I feel uncomfortable, he goes, everyone in the house feels uncomfortable.
Yeah.
You know, and that is a very different thing. If he had gone to Michelle and been like, hey, I'm a little uncomfortable knowing, I had a friend tell me this story, it's less divisive. Like, you know, and you could tell even when he's telling her the story, he's kind of laughing along with it. And she's like, what? You know, she was like, I don't care.
Especially because
I don't care.
Right before, he's talking to those three guys. And they were like, oh, yeah, we don't care. And he's like, well, I do. He's like, it really bothers me. And like, we see him do his in the moment interview, and he's like complaining about it. He was like, I want you to tell me, like, if I want to be able to trust you know, my person. I want to know all this stuff. And then he goes right to her and literally switches it on everyone else. And he's like,
but then in the next moment in the same interview thing, he's like, I mean, I don't care, but like everyone else in the house seems to care. Like he is living in his own world.
Dropped.
I think he really like believes the shit that is coming out of his mouth.
Yeah.
Like you're the Thomas, only one that
he makes Thomas look like nothing.
Yeah, I agree. And then he goes, they kind of like top it off with him being like, I mean, we're jumping ahead of the second group date. We can go back to it. But I'm saying, like, just to, like, go to the end of this thing, he's like, I don't mind being the bad guy. All of a sudden, he's, like, owning being the bad guy. Like, he's like, I don't care about anyone else here.
He's like, I don't mind being the bad guy, but I'm not going to be it right now. Like, he's not telling them he did it. It's so crazy.
His story always changed when it made it more convenient for him.
Mm-hmm.
Every time it could make him the better guy, he took that chance. Every time the story made him have to be vulnerable, he wouldn't do it. Like, again, it's okay if he has an issue with this, but to make it everyone else's issue, now it becomes this conspiracy theory of everyone in the house thinks I'm this person who's here for fame, which is Michelle's probably biggest concern.
And then, so she comes out and she talks about, you know, how offensive it was and like, the fact that, you know, if she was with a white guy, they could just be friends. But since she's with a black guy, it looks like they're in a relationship. And she was like, all the guys are trying to figure out who said this. And there are a few guys that know it was Jamie. Like, well, I don't know why they didn't say anything either. But like, everybody's looking around and trying to figure out what's going on. And Jamie's also looking around to see if anybody knows that it was him. It's like, bro, the call's coming from inside the house. Like, yeah. It is here. It's you.
I was thinking during this whole thing, I'm like, what? I wish I could have been next to a contestant who was there just to see them see it play out.
Yeah.
Like I want to see them put it all together because if you're there, I can understand that, like, maybe they would have known, but the way Jamie placed it to other people, he did always kind of say, I have a problem, but like everyone has a problem. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like you're not talking to all, when it's that many men, you're not talking to everybody. Like, I'm sure, you know, Nate doesn't know that if Pardeep's upset about this, like, you know, like you just don't know. Tired of not being able to get a hold of anyone when you have a question about your credit card? With 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yes, you heard that right. You can talk to a human on the Discover customer service team anytime. So the next time you have a question about your credit card, call 1-800-DISCOVER to get the service you deserve. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
Have you ever felt that fast fashion ick, but you can't always afford the super high-end stuff? I have a solution for you. Nuuly. Nuuly has everything you need to bring your closet up to speed for the season without breaking the bank. So free your closet of impulse purchases and skip the buyer's remorse by renting instead. Nuuly is a subscription clothing rental service, and for just $98 a month, you can get your choice of any 6 styles each month. You choose whatever you want to rent for whatever you have going on. It's totally up to you. Access to thousands of styles from more than 400 brands. There are no fees, late fees, damage fees, or fees to pause or cancel. They have inclusive sizing up to 5X as well as petite and maternity. Get fast, free shipping and returns and professional cleaning in Nuuly's state-of-the-art laundering facility. No laundry for you to worry about. And always have the option to buy what you love for sometimes up to 75% off. Nuuly is a great value of $98 a month for any 6 styles, but right now you can get $20 off your first month of Nuuly when you sign up using the code BACHELOR20. Just go to NUULY.com, that's Nuuly with 2 U's, and enter the code BACHELOR20 and sign up to get $20 off your first month. That's NUULY.com, Nuuly with 2 U's, with the code BACHELOR20. Nuuly subscription clothing rental, change your clothes.
All right, well, speaking of Pardeep, let's go on to the second group date.
Yes,
where they play. The basketball date was a bit of a cringe for me at times because It's kind of the same thing for me as musical chairs when it's on The Bachelor, where everybody's so intense and I'm like, this is just like a fun date thing. Joe playing this game for his
life,
his like in honor of his coach who had just passed away. Like, it was just, you know, I'm like, guys, this is The Bachelorette, you know?
I don't know. I didn't take it that way. I kind of like I was like, I would not want to play in a pickup basketball game on national TV with former D1 athlete, D1 basketball players. Like the difference between, like, I like playing pickup basketball. There's a very big hierarchy in a pickup basketball game, and like if you're playing with someone who played Division I, you look ridiculous. So, and Nate, I think, and Joe both played. Like, didn't Nate play at Rutgers?
Oh, I'm not sure.
I think that was part of his.
Maybe, yeah.
And Joe, and the other interesting part about this, I thought Joe played it well. I thought he was kind of the silent assassin. The fact that Michelle knew that he was Mr. Basketball in the state of Minnesota, and then that she was Miss Basketball runner up.
Yeah.
In Minnesota. Like, it was just, like, very cute. They're doing one-on-one. And I don't know.
Was it Casey that said, like, oh, we didn't know, like, that Joe could play like this because he doesn't talk about it all the time, which does make me like Joe a lot more than somebody who's like, I'm fucking amazing. Like, you know,
I mean,
maybe Joe
Peter
is a nice guy.
Peter owns a pizza place and he hasn't shut up about it. Okay. Imagine if Peter played basketball well. Like, you know,
I also want to know what percentage of Peter's pizza place is owned by family. Like, I feel like Peter probably owns 5% of Peter's pizza. And
there is no slice I want to judge more than Peter's slice.
Yes.
But I this basketball game. So they start with, like, some drills, and I like that Michelle was playing, and Michelle obviously is amazing.
She's so good. I can't imagine. I can't imagine, like, the thought of, I don't even like going to the beach and just, like, tossing a volleyball around, not even playing. Like, I don't even want to toss the volleyball around. Like, so I'm not even trying to dribble. I don't want to do that, especially in front of dudes. No.
Yeah. I mean, if I had to go on that date, I would obviously make it like, well, LOL, like, you know.
Well, I mean, when they walk in, when I saw Chris S. every time he's on camera during this date, I couldn't stop laughing. Chris S. just looked like he was like their younger brother who tagged along for the game and they needed a 10th to make it 5-on-5. Like, it was just so funny. And then Pardeep gets the ball, and he shoots it. He hit the top of the backboard. If it were me and I hit the top of the backboard, like, his shot missed so badly that I would have gone directly up to Michelle and been like, hey, it was really great to meet you.
Yeah, I'll see you around.
I would have sent myself home.
It's time to go.
And if he had done that, he probably would have saved himself because it would have been funny. But I think Michelle was like, look at this guy play basketball. And then she sent him home at the end of the episode.
Absolutely. Look, her and Joe are hitting it off. And then Pardeep took that shot. If I was Pardeep, I'd been the hustle player.
Mortified.
I would have been setting picks, getting rebounds. I would have been setting picks when I was on defense. Yeah, who needs water? Yeah, doing a lot. I would have been doing a lot of other stuff that wasn't true.
I'm the support staff on this team.
Yes, I would have gone into straight comedy mode, like making fun of everybody. Like, you can't take the game seriously when there is a Mr. Basketball on one of the teams. It was just, but I
respect him. And then every other guy is like 6'8".
Yes, Malik is dunking.
I know.
And then Joe's team loses, but he still gets MVP. Michelle was like, I know who I want to talk to.
Doesn't matter.
And it is, yeah.
That felt created. They were like, hey, we found this medal in the back. We just got to find a way to keep Joe on this date. Like, it didn't feel, it felt like Michelle was like, he stays. I don't care.
Yeah. Honestly, Joe gets hotter and hotter as the episodes continue.
Joe crushed.
I feel like Joe's going to make it really far.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the chemistry, even when they played basketball against one another, like, It was like tough. It was like awkward for me to watch on TV. I can't imagine being in that room, being like one of the people, quote unquote, dating her, and you're mm-hmm. watching them play one on one, being like, oh, you, okay. You know, like it's just like, well, like yeah. if I'm sitting there, I'm like, are we still here?
Yeah, doesn't matter.
And he like lives in the same town as her and stuff. Like everything's just a lot easier if they're, you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
Well, I don't know. I bet he gets pretty far. But anyway, we kind of already did the rose ceremony. Not yeah, much to say. Jamie doesn't get caught somehow.
He goes home.
Pardeep's gone.
Yeah.
My prince.
Yeah. Pardeep, he leaves, which I was like sad about. I wanted more.
The guy with the glossier face, the guy with the dewy, glowy skin.
Oh,
he
yeah.
left.
Alec.
yeah. Plug for glossier.
The glossier face. And then the guy that came on the little fire truck,
Daniel,
went home.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we didn't lose any major players, but it was, I thought it was a good episode. I enjoyed it. There was intrigue. There was fun. There was tears. I think Michelle was great through it all. Like her dress, the dress she came into that cocktail hour with, I mean, like they clapped for her. They clapped like the plane just landed.
Yeah,
like there was an actual applause.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, no, she looked amazing.
I also didn't think about that being weird until my roommate was like, why are they clapping for her coming down the stairs? And I was like, you know what? That is so weird.
It's so weird. And it wasn't all of them. It was just like a couple of them. It was like a flight just landed. And you're like, who are those losers clapping?
So
like,
weird.
It's like it would be me like, yes, bitch. I literally just hit my teeth with the microphone because I was so excited about Michelle's dress.
She
looks so hot. Straight men clap for a dress.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are just as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They're milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The Hargan women seemed to have it all.
We were blessed. My mom was amazing.
But detectives would soon discover
inside the house there were the bodies of two women.
A story of betrayal you would struggle to believe if it wasn't true.
I am just praying to God, this is a sick joke.
From 48 Hours, this is Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings. Listen to Blood is Thicker, the Hargan family killings, wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Okay, should we get into categories?
Yeah, let's do it.
All right, would you rather sit through a platonic dinner? So it's like, you know, when you have to go to a forced dinner with someone and you're not really friends and you don't have any sexual interest with Jamie or Peter. You have to get appetizers and dessert.
Peter would know how to order at an Italian restaurant.
I think I would want to go with Peter.
Allegedly. But so with Jamie, he's a world-renowned traveler.
That's true.
Allegedly.
I don't like having conversations with people when I know they're lying, but I can't really, I'm not looking to call them out. I just let them keep lying. Yeah. So Jamie would be hard for me. Like Peter's almost not, like his honesty, he is being honest. He's just an honest douche. You know, it's very...
Yeah.
At least I know what I'm hearing.
You know what you're ordering. You know what you're getting.
Yeah.
I feel like Peter would snap and yell at a waiter or something, though.
Okay. And like wave his hand.
Yeah. I mean, Gabagool.
Gollum. Yeah, using all the wrong sounds of
Rigatone.
Letters.
Rigatone.
Gallimard.
cutting all the vowels off the end of the Italian foods.
What's the
spaghetti?
Burrata. Don't they like call it like what's the but another all, cheese or mozzarella?
Oh yeah.
Mozzarella. Yeah.
That's what it is.
All right.
All right. Would you rather get blasted on TV for being a shitty speller or for not knowing what apples taste like? Because we didn't talk about Rodney being completely like
thrown off by the pizza.
Thrown off. By
well, everything. Has Rodney been apple zoned as opposed to friend zoned? Like, everything about Rodney is about apples. Like, even when he was on the court, she was like, oh, go get him, Apple. I would be like, dude, can we talk about something else? Like, I did that as a fun thing. Like,
anything else?
I don't think he realized how interested in apples Michelle was going to be.
She has a fetish.
Yeah.
He was
so
like,
so does the producer on the show.
Apparently.
Who loves food.
I would rather not know what apples taste like. I think that's the spelling is kind of embarrassing.
Spelling is
way more embarrassing.
Like I think
I'm allergic to apples.
Yeah, I was at a coffee shop and their Wi-Fi password was croissant last week, and I was like, why would they do this to people? Like if spell check didn't exist, I'd be like in hell here. Like I like.
Oh yeah, I'd be like, can someone
for croissant,
share it with me?
You guys,
can someone share the password with me?
Yeah, please. So I don't want to. I don't
like,
need that
bagel.
On TV. Yeah.
Okay, Jared, what's your...
Play musical chairs against Peter or have Pardeep on your pickup basketball team?
Definitely Peter, because I feel like I could humiliate him really fucking easily.
I think I'd want Pardeep on my basketball team because I'm also not good. And so we can just like warm the bench like, together.
You know how Peter kept trying to like pull the chair out of whoever won's hands? Like I would have been the bitch that let go of the chair so he like flew across the room as he was trying to tug on it.
Yeah.
I love it.
Okay, top three. I said Nate because he's like hot. There's nobody that I'm like into really. Nate, I think, is hot. Romeo because he's like hot, I guess, and then Leroy also because he's hot and seems smart.
Oh yeah,
like Leroy like hasn't really said or done anything and I'm into that. Okay,
all right. I think my top ones are Nate, Joe, and Rodney. I do really like Rodney, even though like the apple thing, whatever, I think he has a really fun personality and I want to keep Rodney on.
Yeah, I agree.
I agree with you, even though he's not in my top. I had him in my top three, but I had to do a special memorial Pardeep who passed away on this episode. I had to give one to Pardeep. Rodney seems like he's like prime for paradise. Just like,
oh yeah,
totally a paradise type of guy. But I had Joe, Nate, and Pardeep.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
R.I.P.
Pardeep. Cringiest moment. Mine was the awkward silence after Michelle's speech. Like the fact that nobody was saying anything and she just went into this entire like vulnerable. This is how I'm feeling. I'm offended. And she was like, do you guys want to like talk about this? And they're all like, talk about what?
it's always surprising to me in those moments, like no guy stands up and is like, hey, I don't know what you're talking about. Can we get a poll of who knows what you're talking about?
Because it's crazy that you guys aren't saying anything if you're all like upset about this.
Yeah, it was fucking crazy. I mean, the day of reckoning has to be soon.
Absolutely. I mean, it can't. Yeah, absolutely.
I thought it was cringy just listening to Jamie talk about how amazing he sounded like goddamn Eliza Thornberry, like talking about how he like lived. I'm like, at what point did you become a biotech CEO in Uruguay? Like, yeah. I don't know. That made me not want to crawl out of my skin.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Hated that.
I had Pardeep's shot was a cringy moment. And then every time Chris S. is on camera, I can't take Chris S. seriously. Like, he's just, he looks like their younger brother. He's just too happy in every scene. He's so expressive.
He's like the little brother in the Goonies.
Yes, he's totally like that. Like, when they're walking towards the basketball date, they show the guys walking up, and it's supposed to be this, like, kind of hero moment. Like, it's all the men looking hot. And then he just does, like, a basketball shot with no basketball. And it just is such a nerdy moment. And you're like, oh, dude. Yeah. Dude, you are hilarious. So, yeah, every time Chris S. is on camera.
I think he's hot, though.
He's got a very K look.
Speaking of K looks,
K's weekend. How was Vegas?
Let's number one. How many music festivals exist?
That was
in
my
the
fifth
country?
One this year. That was my
like
fifth
it is
one.
Every weekend. What I am to weddings, you are to music festivals.
And how fun are they? Like.
Depends.
What, one music festival, like the idea, are you standing the whole weekend? These are such old people questions. Is there anywhere to sit?
So, like, yeah. So it depends on how you do the music festival. There was one point where, like, Chris sent me a DM and he was like, "What is happening?" Because
you were on a fucking in a fucking helicopter.
With a festival like this, you definitely have to do it elevated. No, I did not fund any of this.
Literally.
So you are friends with Drew Carey, comedian, TV star, host of The Price Is Right. I can't even believe I just said that. How did you, for the listeners at home, how do you meet Drew Carey?
Chris Evans.
She was friends with she was friends with Mimi from the Drew Carey show.
Chris did her makeup. That's how Chris met her.
My biggest drag inspiration, Mimi from the Drew Carey show.
My friend actually, like almost 6 years ago at this point, won a car on The Price Is Right, and they just became friends. And she introduced me to him, and I met him like 6 years ago, and we've been friends ever since. We've gone to Belize, Paris.
And
yeah, we do
there...
festivals together.
And I've talked to you about this off, you know, podcast before, because I've actually done shows in Seattle and you happen to be there with Drew.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And I remember we met up and I asked you, I was like, what is the name? Because I think like the first reaction from anyone listening is, you know, are you
Sugar Baby?
Is there a using situation? And it doesn't.
No.
The way you explained it to me felt very real and friendly. Like, it doesn't feel weird when you explain it.
When you hear this story, it obviously does sound like Kay is Drew Carey's sugar baby, but when you actually like talk to Kay, you do realize that that is not the case.
No, we're actually genuinely like buds, and to the point where like he knows my parents, my family. Like we did, my dad and I did a fantasy baseball league with Drew, and it was like just like 10 of us, but my dad knows him and. We're literally just like friends, and he just likes to cater his friends. Like he took 32 of us to this festival.
I'm always up for new friends.
But
is there a gay one in the group?
Do we need check the roster?
You looking for a fat gay guy to join the hot girl brigade?
If I can defend Drew Carey here, you have to think like this guy. When you're the host of The Price Is Right, you're making an amount of money that it's like you can't expect people to hang in the way that you need to hang. Like
right.
He needs a reserved area. He needs, you know, some sort of, you know, travel that's he's not going to be on your Southwest flight to Vegas. OK, Drew Carey had a sitcom that went into syndication. Like you think Seinfeld's rich? Well, Drew Carey's right around Seinfeld, like in a way that you might not want to understand or believe. But it's the truth. So. Yeah. You know,
and probably job security for a really long time. Price is Right.
He's been hosting Price is Right for 15 years.
Minus Price is Right, he's a 100 millionaire.
Yeah.
So plus Price is Right, he's more than that. So I do understand where he's like, listen, I'm going to Vegas, and whoever's in, my assistant will take care of the rest.
That's exactly how
I mean,
works.
If I was Drew Carey rich, that is how I would want to live my life.
Yeah, why wouldn't you?
Take people along for the fucking ride. But, like, you're not going to die with fucking $500 million.
But that's exactly, you know? That's exactly how it works. And he's like, he invites his friends, and he took, I think, like 32 of us on here, paid for all of our hotel rooms, all of our tickets. We had like the biggest, we had three and tables.
I think it's important also to mention that, like, it's not just single girls. Like, he'll bring girls' boyfriends too.
Yeah,
like,
everybody's boyfriend can come. Everybody gets a plus one. Like,
it's not like he's like ages. Expecting anything. Because I think hearing the story from the outside, people would assume.
Oh yeah, someone, just because it's like me. And
nothing's free in this world. Is the vibe.
Totally. But so what I think, is but if you go to a music does he like festivals like
this? He loves EDC is his favorite thing. He is the king of EDC. Everybody knows him there. We're always the first ones at EDC. This is my second time with him. We're the first ones at the festival. They always let him in early. We have our table. They all know him. Like, he's the nicest guy. He also tips on 1-to-1. So if we're paying X amount for that table, he's tipping X that same amount. Like, he is, but everybody loves him, knows him.
That's all fine and dandy. Now, who is he, you know, does he have people, you know, is he dating anyone? Is he there to, like, meet people, or is he just enjoying
the concert? He has a girlfriend. Yeah. He's had her for a few years. She's awesome. We know her. Like, it's now, all just everybody hanging out. But taking helicopters to and from. Like, I took 6 helicopters this weekend.
Kay's weekend. Now, was any Bachelor contestants a part of this? Does he know any of them?
No, there actually weren't any Bachelor people there. Not at all.
Okay. How's your friend Jess? How's she doing? Just want to check in.
Jess is great. I'm personally seeing her this weekend. Okay, I'm going to San Diego for Halloween.
Just want to make sure she's doing okay. Okay. Now,
wait, have you seen her roommate, Jared? Her roommate's also crazy hot and the sweetest.
Who?
Yours.
Oh, mine?
Yeah.
Okay, Chelsea.
Instagram after we
Chelsea.
Chelsea's single, right?
Yeah.
Sure, yeah, Jared. And she's Instagram. She has a Bachelor contestant look, but she was very, very sweet and nice when I hung out with her.
Yeah, she's awesome.
GTK, good to know. Now, what is the major highlight of the trip?
The helicopter not going down.
Yeah, the helicopter is unbelievable. I can't lie, because that's
how many wigs did you bring?
I brought one wig.
I was like, bitch, when did you get into my closet with that?
He goes, is that my wig? I brought one wig, but I had been shopping for my outfits for a while. Like, I have been prepping for this for a minute, just because, like, it's such a massive festival and it goes from 6 p.m. to 6 a.m.
Oy.
Kill me.
It's at night. So, like,
I'd rather die.
Yeah, get there at 7 p.m.
I mean, there you would see me at 7:30 p.m. by the pizza stand, hammer drunk, just being like, I got to go home. I got to eat this and I got to go home. Like,
we would sleep all day.
Tell Drew to bring the helicopter around. I got to get out of here.
We would literally sleep all day. We would get home at like 5 a.m. Some people would stay the whole time. And we'd get home and then I would go to sleep until like 2.
I would kill to see the drugs that happen at this festival.
Drew stays till the end.
Drew stays the whole time.
Yeah. He stays longer than I do.
And then he gives away 10 cars on Monday morning, bitch. Welcome to the life of Drew Carey.
Yeah, he's literally the best, the nicest guy. Everybody, seriously, like, everybody there knows him at the festival. The people who work, they're like, the king's here. He's the best.
Now, you lost your phone at some point. What happened to your phone? Now, Kay, you losing your phone. Well, whatever
is
happened
to your
phone.
It's a national tragedy.
I can't imagine. You losing access to your phone. What happened?
Oh, It was Saturday. It was Saturday night. I'm like really drunk Saturday night. Like, okay. Like it was like 3:30 and I'm seeing like stars. And my friend and my roommate Chelsea was drunker than I was, and I was like, I gotta get Chelsea home. And so we're like hobbling on our way to the helicopter. and I get on the helicopter with two other people. It's like me, Chelsea, and two of our other friends. And I go, I don't have my phone. So I get out of the helicopter and I run across the pad. And I was like,
he's like, ma'am,
that,
we're like, in the air.
I was like, maybe it's at like the main station. And I dropped it and I couldn't find it. And I was like, fuck, I have to get back on that. I have to get back. So I was like, you know what? I have to take care of Chelsea. Literally dumb and dumber getting home. And we got back to the place at like 4:30. And Chelsea was like, why don't you just call it? And I was like, nobody's going to answer my phone at a festival. She called it and a guy answered. He was like,
huh. Whoa.
First try.
And I've done that. I found a phone and like, someone will fucking call
and
it.
And he was he was like, I have your phone. He was like, it was on the ground, blah, blah, blah. Like, I'll leave it at the sky deck where our table is. He was like, I'll leave it there tonight or like bring it over and so you can pick it up when you get there. And I was like, amazing. I should have been like, just give it to one of my friends who are still there. But I was like, yeah, just leave it at the sky deck. It's fine. And I got there the next day. They handed me my phone.
Wow.
That's
I have
great.
A friend I mean, who unreal.
Loses, I have a friend who loses his phone in that way, too, where we used to call his phone the boomerang. Because it would always just come back to him somehow. Like,
I cannot
you know,
believe.
He would call it, someone pick up. But at a concert, I think people at a concert like that, like, they know everyone there, their phone is so important to them. Like no one needs two phones.
Well, wild part is that it was in a different area that I didn't even have access to. It was in the artist lounge. That's where it was found. In the artist lounge, backstage. Which I don't even
that's
have.
Insane.
I didn't have a pass to get backstage. I didn't have anything, but that's where it was found.
I would love
and
to
so
see
I'm
the security cam footage.
Who did?
Yeah.
Was over like in our area or whatever and was like, oh, my phone grabbed it. Or they thought it was their friend's phone, took it, realized it wasn't theirs, and was just like, I'm going to leave this here.
Well, listen, this was another star-studded K's weekend. And we're very. We love a K's weekend. What's next? What rave are you going to next weekend? You and Wayne Brady?
I'll be in San Diego, but we don't have exact plans yet.
I'm sure you'll find something.
You and Katie having a girls' night out. Newly single.
I have
Katie.
A wedding this weekend. Look at it.
And I'll be in New Brunswick, New Jersey.
Doing it.
So we're all basically doing the same thing.
All Let's right. Go.
Who gets the rose?
Who got your rose? I said Jamie because he got away with it.
My rose goes to Michelle's workout clothing drawer. She is about to be sponsored by so many workout apparel brands. Her sets this episode, the black and white one and the hot pink one she wore climbing. She is like, workout brands must be looking at her being like, we need to dress her because she looks so good in these sets. Every woman is going to be in that hot pink one. She is going to make money for the rest of her life just wearing aloe.
Wearing workout aloe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I have to say Joe for me because he has already had all this drama wrapped around him, including Jamie bringing up the fact that she knew him before and he is still coming out of this unscathed and you can tell she wants him around. So I think Joe got the rose. I mean, literally he did, but like my rose. Okay, guys. Well, we'll be back next week. Make sure you're following us on Instagram at The Bachelor or on Twitter at Bachelor Pod. And you can subscribe to our newsletter every week. And that is called The Bachelor Breakdown, giving you all Bachelor tea, news, everything that's going on in Bachelor Nation. And you can subscribe to that at betches.co/Bachelor Breakdown. And you can follow me at K York City.
Me at Fat Carrie Bradshaw.
And I'm at Jared Freed.
All right, guys, we will see you next week. Bye.
Betches.